All right, Paul, and I am breaking in the middle, so we'll fill it in later. Verse 6, chapter 9. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect. Now, that's the question that is to be dealt with here. Has God's word failed in this aspect? So, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, by our father Isaac, the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calls, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, in the beginning, I say that our premise or our assertion this morning is the question in both of these studies is that grace is in no way conveyed through the parents. That grace, saving grace and mercy is in no way conveyed by or through the parent. And that means even if they are Christian and even if they are genuine and sincere Christian, for their offspring they cannot bestow the grace of God. Though the parent be in the grace of God and have saving grace in their life, even before they are fruitful and multiply and extend their family. That grace is not traduced from the parent unto the child. Nor if they set the best Christian example that is possible in the home. And if they catechize their children in the creeds or in the word of God, if they raise them in a gospel truth, a church under the true word of God, and pray for them diligently and exhort them that they might turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, it will not assure that they will become believers. You cannot make your child a Christian or a child of God. Now, granted, these are things that Christian parents ought to do and are obligated to do. If peradventure God will grant them repentance unto believing and the saving of their soul. But at the same time, we must admit that grace does not run in the blood. And again, we must admit that a reprobate set of parents actually might propagate an elect of God, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. In spite of their bad example, God might grant unto them that they might produce an elect child. An illegitimate one might even be an elect of God, and oftentimes have been. I think we can prove that from the scripture. Or I think we can probably declare that the firstborn of the race, Cain, in Genesis chapter 4, was a reprobate. And it turned out that he hated the standard of God and killed his very own brother over the matter of religion. Again, Abraham's firstborn, and that would be Ishmael, was also a reprobate. So it was with Isaac and his wife. Their firstborn was a reprobate by the name of Esau. Now, in our text this morning, yet they were twins, Jacob and Esau, and consider, these were the first and the second generation from Abraham himself, as close as possible to Abraham. One the very son, the other a grandson. So close as possibly they could be to the root and the tree, even Abraham. They were the first branches, if we might say it, in the Abrahamic tree, and yet were they not the children of God? Now, this is a great concern to Christian parents. Of course it is, this matter of their children and of the Lord, that they might pray in the fashion of Abraham, O Lord God, that our child might live before thee. And these concerns probably are heightened by those who have had the revelation of sovereign grace, who believe in the doctrines of grace. These concerns are heightened by the sovereignty of God, that there is election and there is reprobation, and that the both of them run through the human family, that God is merciful to whom he will be merciful is the standard of the scripture. Now, with that in mind, let me, if you would endure, a short personal injection here in this place. But I have preached long enough in one place and in one church to see the extension of families under their second and their third and their fourth layer of those family children that grew up here in these pews, hearing the word of God, grew up in church, yet when they were out on their own, they quit church, they stopped going. When they got married or they raised their family or moved out on their own. Now, these were not believers, all of them. Of course not. They got married. They quit going to church. Some of them don't go even unto this day. Now, they were not disrespectful openly unto me during that time. Oh, I knew a few of them sneered and rolled their eyes and frowned at some things that I preached. But most of them, if they saw me today, would actually hug my neck. Some of them I baptized, but still they left church. They sat under the word of God, and they were not converted. They did not have the faith of their parents. Thank God some of them have come back into the church. Now, as for our first text of the morning, it was a great offense unto the Jew to be told or to think that any of the seed of Abraham could perish. In light of the promise, in light of the covenant, it was a thing unthinkable to many of them that a seed of Abraham could actually perish, as well as being one of the best texts to show that grace does not run in the blood, that it is not passed down by physical procreation. It does not necessarily run in families, as some might hope or might think. And before we actually get into that, let us note another matter in contrast, that though grace is not traduced from parent unto child, common depravity is. Grace is not traduced, but common depravity is traduced through them. Though all were not in Christ, all were in Adam. In Adam, all die. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. We have borne the image of the earthly Adam, 1 Corinthians 15 and 49. By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Since by man came death, 1 Corinthians 15 and 21. When Adam fathered a child, when he fathered a first child, we read in Genesis 5 and the third verse, he begat in his own likeness after his image, unquote. Again, back to Romans 5 and verse 12. By one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. That is, death passed upon all. The penal consequences of Adam's sin passed upon all, and death reigned even from Adam unto Moses. Romans 5:14. And even over those who had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. So, Adam, as Goodwin called him, was the father and the root of all mankind. And Paul puts it this way in Acts 17 and 26. He is that one blood from whom all have descended, from which God made to be every nation of men, for to dwell upon the face of the earth and set their habitation. So that all mankind is derived from a common root or a common set of parents, and that is Adam and Eve. Now, Adam was the first given human nature. Human nature was created in Adam and in Eve. And then it was not propagated to them. They were not the result of propagation. They were created directly by the hand of God. God formed Adam of the dust of the earth and breathed into him the breath of life. And Scripture said he became a living soul. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. But that nature corrupted and fell in Adam and in Eve, and for the continuous flowing fountain out of them, the stream of humanity has not purified itself unto this day, but flows as foul as ever through the human family in its depravity. Upon the principle, each one after his own kind. So that if the root be corrupt, so are the branches, the leaves, the tree, and the fruit, and such like. For they receive, or they derive the nature, as it is passed forward after its own kind. In human propagation, it means that a corrupt nature is traduced from parent unto the offspring, to all descendants of Adam, not by him directly, but through the medium of nature and through that of propagation and parenthood. Now, we have an English word that I've used, and that word is traduce. And in English, the word commonly means to slander or to speak evil of, or to defame or malign a person or a thing, or to vilify. In theology, the doctrine of traducianism teaches that the whole person is propagated through the human parents, and this, of course, includes the corrupt nature. David endorsed that in Psalm 51 and 5, I was shapen in iniquity, in sin did my mother conceive me. The Lord told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh, flesh is. Never will be anything else, always after its kind. Now, Adam's corrupt nature, and not just Adam, but human nature itself, depraved human nature, would be communicated to all mankind because of the connection. Thomas Goodwin, an old Puritan, put it like this. Other parents were the means to derive down this image from Adam. And again he called them, and I'm quoting, bare instruments to channel and convey it down by the law of creation to convey the whole image of man, unquote. Now, each came forth from the womb depraved. Some call it original sin, We call it total depravity or corruption or whatever. And yet, by this natural traducement of depravity, there is not necessarily conveyed the same degree of sinning from the parent unto the child. Whether more or less sinning is not the issue. For depravity is like the broken dam of a great lake, in that it seeks its own level and flows where it will. So it is not the offspring. Actual sins match those of the parent. That's not necessarily what is involved. Does it exceed that of the parent? It may or it may not. Just that depravity is from, and the form of human nature can be carried to many extremes. Depravity can spread in any and every direction. Or to say it another way, the devil, the world, temptation, times, fashion, customs, whatever, the desire of the flesh have access to the corrupt nature to work upon. It has the corrupt nature of us all to work upon and to draw out sin from that aspect of our nature, so that the winds of depravity blow in every direction. Present behavior confirms that to be true. You look out upon humanity, and what do you see but a sea of depravity? But in the gist of our present study, while depravity is traduced from parent to child, grace is not passed through by natural generation or procreation. We take our starting point here in Romans chapter 9 and verse 6 and following we read. First of all, let's ask ourselves, what is the context? And then set the context and put this text in its context. What is it that Paul is saying or is proving or is aiming at or is teaching the Jew? And we might answer for that, that he takes up a discussion of the unbelief of Israel regarding Messiah. He does that in verse 1 through 3 of this chapter. In spite of their many privileges that he mentions in verse 4 and verse 5, those privileges did not save all of them, and it did not result in their salvation. And in spite of their Abrahamic ancestry, in verse 6 through verse 8, many did not believe, and many of them were perishing. So we jumped in here at verse 6, that in spite of these things, it does not follow that the word of God has failed or fallen down to the ground. You have that in verse 6. Not as though the word of God has failed. Now, what does Paul bring up that might suggest that the word of God has failed? It is not that God's word of promise or prophecy has failed, because some of the seed of Abraham are dying in their unbelief. It would, if the promise included every single offspring of Abraham without exception, like the Arminian view of salvation, that it is intended for every member of the human race. But Paul, in verse 6, verse 7, and verse 8, we'll look at it now, he tells why the unbelief of many Jews in no way impugn the faithfulness of the word of God or consider it a failure in any part. And notice with me, Paul puts a threefold emphasis, that is, a threefold ground of denial, why such unbelief of some children of Abraham does not mean a failure of the word of God or of the promise or of the covenant. Let's look at verse 6 again. For, or because, the word of God has not failed, for or because they are not all Israel which are of Israel. There is an Israel in national Israel. There is a spiritual Israel in national or natural Israel. As Paul said in Galatians 6 and 16, he speaks of there the Israel of God. In John 1 and verse 47, listen to what our Lord said to a man, where the Lord calls Nathanael truly an Israelite, an Israelite indeed, an Israelite in the true sense. Then Paul in Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, describes a Jew by contrasting an outward and an inward Jew by outward and inward circumcision. And he tells which is a Jew and which is not a true Jew. So verse 6, because they're not all Israel which are of Israel. Then in verse 7, the second confirmation that God's word in regard to Abraham has not fallen, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they children. That's another reason why. Note the contrast between seed. Think the word is the word sperma, offspring, descendants, and extension and children. That's the contrast in that verse. By the way, the Lord in John chapter 8 and verse 33 through 39 made about the same contrast between the seed of Abraham and the children of Abraham. Not all seed are children. Not all seed of Abraham are children of Abraham. So the fact is that from the beginning of God's covenant and God's promise unto Abraham, it was never God's intention to save every individual descendant of Abraham. But there was a purpose according to election. Romans 9 and verse 11. And that stands, that remains, that abides, that cannot be shaken, that cannot fall, cannot fail, cannot come unto naught. Now the third one is in the 8th verse, which I read again. That is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Now here's the contrast between the children of the flesh and the children of promise as signified by Isaac. Isaac was the son of promise. And as Paul says, we, Galatians 4:28, brethren, are as Isaac was the children of promise. We are the children of promise like unto Isaac. Now, not only so, but in these three verses, verse 6 and 7 and 8, there is, if I may say so, a part A and a part B in each one of the verses to help distinguish the thoughts which Paul is developing and the contrast that he wishes to make, that not all Israel who are of Israel. Verse 7, in Isaac shall your seed be called. And in verse 8, the children of promise are counted or reckoned for the seed. Not mere children of the flesh. Ishmael was a child of the flesh. Now from this history of Abraham's family, we clearly see that grace does not run in the blood or through the flesh. It is not traduced from the parent down unto the child. A godly parent does not guarantee a godly child or an elect one. A covenant parent does not guarantee a covenant child will be born of that union. So Paul speaks here of the children of the flesh in verse 8. What does he mean? Since we are all, in that sense, children of the flesh, born by natural procreation. We are flesh because born of the flesh originally, John chapter 3. In Romans 9, they which are the children of the flesh, Ishmael, born according to the ability and the energy only of the flesh. Nothing supernatural about it, as was the case with Isaac, who was supernaturally, if I may use that expression, born. No supernatural power was needed to bring forth Ishmael, but Isaac, yes. Now, secondly, mere carnal descent from Abraham, yet says Paul, these are not the children of God in verse 8. And again, let us note the closeness to Abraham of the two examples here in Romans chapter 9. Abraham begetting of his firstborn Ishmael by a surrogate wife and mother chosen by Sarah and accepted by Abraham. Hagar, an Egyptian slave woman, and Abraham went in and no miracle was needed for the conception and the birth of Ishmael. Ishmael was not a son of promise as Sarah had hoped and imagined and was cast out of the house of Abraham for good. Now, there are some that might contend the reason for the difference between Ishmael and Isaac was that they had different mothers, one an Egyptian, the other an Israelite. And again, they were born years apart, probably at least 13 years apart were they born. And only after Ishmael mocked Isaac was he cast out of the family and sent away. But all along, the promise stood in the promised son, Isaac. Not the son of a slave woman, but the son of the true wife, even Sarah. Well, says Paul, there is the case of the first children of Abraham, in which no such distinctions are found. You might find those distinctions between Ishmael and Isaac and make you an argument that their actions caused the difference. But Paul says, I'm going to tell you about another example out of Abraham's house, and that is Isaac and his wife Rebekah having the twin sons, Jacob and Esau. One wife, one conception, twins in the womb. In fact, they were twins. They had the same father. They had the same mother, conceived at the same time. And even Esau was the firstborn of the two. Esau came out first. And yet it had been revealed unto their mother Rebekah before they were born in Genesis chapter 25 and verse 23. Two things. Two nations are in your womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from your inwards. And B, the elder shall serve the younger. Now, here they are. Two nations are in your womb as they struggle together, and the elder shall serve the younger. And Paul quotes Malachi chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, let's hear and see what Paul tells us in verse 11 of Romans chapter 9. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said to their mother, the elder shall serve the younger. Now, you might notice, if you have King James, that they have put this in brackets or parentheses. It's also that in the Geneva King James Version. We could go from verse 10 to verse 12 without missing any truth concerning that. But in verse 11, we read of the purpose of God according to election. And this has to do with the twin children of Isaac and Rebekah. As we read, for the children, these in verse 10, which Rebekah conceived by one, that is, by her one lawful husband, Isaac, twins, two sons in her womb, Genesis 25:24, Paul attributes the choice and the favor of Jacob to election. The purpose of God according to election, to sovereign election. This, says Paul, was the thing that was done and worked out in Rebekah and in her children. And the words of God to her, the elder shall serve the younger. Paul, therefore, is very clear. This was before they were born, and it was before and without any consideration of their works, either good or evil. Robert Haldane reasoned, even if some claim that something about Isaac and Ishmael was the reason for preferring Isaac as Ishmael's half-breed status because of his birth mother or of his mocking Isaac, yet, as Haldane wrote, in this parenthesis, the apostle showed that the preference was given to Jacob independent of any ground of merit because it was before they were born and before they had done any good or evil. Neither can foresight of their deeds be argued, since not according to works, good or evil, but of him that calls. Effectual calling, election and calling. Thus grace is not traduced from parent to child, neither is the covenant in a spiritual sense traduced from the parent to the child. How can it be when so many true Jews were not believing and were perishing? They were not covenant children of Abraham. They were not spiritual children of Abraham. Now, it is not parentage or circumcision or observance of carnal ordinances or nationality that puts one in the grace of God or in the covenant of God. Rather, it depends on election, the sovereign purpose of God. What Paul called the purpose of God in accordance with election. And note the words there in verse 11, might stand, that it might stand, that it might abide, that it might remain, that it might not be shaken, that it might endure. Still, there's this to consider in this equation, that Israel was a chosen nation or people to be special unto God above all others upon the face of the earth. Deuteronomy 7 and 6, God made covenant with them. He gave them the law of ordinances and of worship. Even the oracles of God were deposited with them. Now, point of emphasis from the premise, they are not all Israel which are of Israel in Romans 9 and 6. And let us recall the various distinctions which Paul has made, and this is important in a coming distinction that we will mention. It all summed up in the premise, the word of God has not failed due to Israel's unbelief, since they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Now the distinction, Romans 2, 28, 29, an outward Jew, an inward Jew. Now, these could all be descendants of Abraham, ancestors of Abraham. But Paul distinguishes clearly between an outward Jew and an inward Jew. And the next thing he does is distinguish between circumcision outward of the flesh, circumcision inwardly of the heart. And the inward Jew and the inward circumcision are the true ones. And inward Jew is the true one, and true circumcision is that of the heart. Romans 9:8, children of flesh, children of promise. Seed of Abraham, children of Abraham. Just in verse 6, they're not all Israel, which are of Israel, so they are not all elect who are out of elect Israel. That is, as Murray put it, a distinction between the elect of Israel and elect Israel. Between the theocratic election of the nation and the individual election to salvation of people of that nation. And if you'll consider Galatians 6 and 16, the Israel of God. And if we flip to Romans chapter 11, let me read verse 5 in our hearing. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Now let me read verse 7 of Romans 11. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Now the remnant was owing to the election of grace. And among Israel, the chosen people, there was both the elect who, like Noah, found grace in the eyes of the Lord, but the rest were hardened. Romans 11 and verse 7. Again, the election obtained it, and the rest were blinded or hardened, as we have it in the margin. And why? The elect found what they sought. And what they sought probably is justification and righteousness by faith. The rest obtained it not, for they sought it not by faith, but by the works of the law. Romans 9, 30 and 32. So let's close with a look at Jacob and Esau in verse 10 through verse 13 of Romans 9. That in addition to Ishmael and Isaac and God's disposition of their situation, there was the case of Jacob and of Esau, in which the difference between Ishmael and Isaac did not exist, since Jacob and Esau each had the exact same relationship unto Abraham and Sarah, and both had the same father and the mother, conceived at the same time, lay in the same womb together until the day of their birth. Esau, as I mentioned, was firstborn, and that bestowed a privilege in Israel, but it was taken from Esau and given unto the younger. He lost that birthright. He gave it away. He sold it. And there was an omen twofold in the birth of these two boys in the womb of their mother. And that is, number one, we find that they struggled together in the womb. An unusual phenomenon, foreboding things that were to come. And secondly, another unusual thing, as they were being born, Jacob lay hold of the heel of Esau, his brother, as they were coming out, one and two. Genesis 25, 26, Hosea 12, 3 and 4, a sign of things to come. Both of those things, they're struggling, Jacob laying hold on the heel of Esau, were signs of things to come according to God's purpose of election, as we learn from Paul. And the greatest distinction found in verse 13, Romans 9, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated, for it is written, and that in Malachi chapter 1, 1 through 3. These things have suffered much at the hands of Arminian and modern evil men to do away with the sovereignty of God. But Paul is clear, too clear to be misunderstood, and they stand. The purpose of God according to election might stand. And stand it did, and stand it does, and stand it will. The purpose of God according to election.